You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Chulin is Daf Tet Vav. And remember what we're doing here. We had a Mishnah that said, if you're shochet on Shabbat or Yom Kippur, the Shechit is kosher. And Rav was quoted as saying that although the Shechit is kosher, you can't eat it on the day that you did the Shechit. We were trying to figure out why. The Talmidim said it's because Rav holds of Reb Yehuda, and we've spent an entire day trying to figure out which Reb Yehuda. We went through like Nolads and Muktas and Muchans and we couldn't figure out a real basis for a Reb Yehuda. Today, we're going to suggest an approach that makes a lot more sense on the third line. Elam Rav Ashi, you know what we're referring to Reb Yehuda de Mevashel. None of you have considered the question. Forget about all of these issues of Mukta and things like that. If the Mishnah is talking about HaShochet, it's got to be a problem in the Shochet on Shabbos, not because of other issues. And there is, in fact, a problem of what the status is when Malacha has been done on Shabbat. And as a matter of fact, there are three separate issues that need to be considered. One is that we have a general principle that when someone is going to be nene from an iser that had been done, we make him wait the amount of time that would be required to get the same results without an iser. So that would mean that if you did something on Shabbat, you're going to have to wait, and that's called bichdei she'aseh. You have to wait as long as it would take to do the equivalent act on Motzei Shabbat. Otherwise, you're taking advantage of the fact that something had been done on Shabbat. That's question number one. Question number two is fines, knas. We sometimes fine someone who did an iser. Someone went ahead, was b'chal Shabbat, and cooked, let's say, a steak. It is possible that we would say, you who cooked a steak shall never benefit from what it is that you did. That's another issue. Of course, that wouldn't affect anybody else. It would only affect the person who actually went ahead and cooked the steak. And then there's a third issue that would affect anybody as well. And that was the question of Melechet Shabbat. According to some, there is an Isser, Shabbat is Kodesh Ilachem, and therefore it's viewed as a comparison to Kodesh. Just like Kodesh is Asur B'Hana'ah, so too are Ma'aseh Shabbat Asur B'Hana'ah, but Ketiz the Pasuk B'Chalaleh Mot Yumat, to tell me it's Asur B'Hana'ah, sure enough, but only Asur B'Hana'ah if the Isser had been done, B'Mezid. Three issues. Turns out there are three shitas in the following Braita that argue about these three issues. And that is what allows us to understand the Mishnah. Ditzna, HaMevashel b'Shabbat b'Shogeg Yochal b'Mezid Lo Yochal. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, look, I only recognize one problem. And that is the problem of being nene from Isser that was done. And that is only where an Isser was done. But if somebody did something b'Shogeg, he never did an Isser. So it was an Avera, but he didn't go out to do an Isser. Therefore, tonight, it would be mutter for anybody. And if it was done b'shogeg, it would be mutter today for anybody. No problems. As far as your other issues are concerned, knas? Nah, don't believe in knas. Question of there being an Isser of Shabbos, Bach Shabbos, never heard of it. Only question is, where something was done, b'mezid, you've got to wait, b'chdei she'aseh. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, I mean, yes, you've got to wait, b'chdei she'aseh, it was done, b'mezid, but you have to wait, b'chdei she'aseh, even if it was done, b'shogeg. Because even though maybe he didn't do the Isser Shabbos, b'mezid, certainly an Avera was done, and therefore, we don't allow Hana'ah during the day until b'chdei she'aseh. And that would be true for anybody. So, b'shogeg yochal b'motzei Shabbat, but b'mezid, ooh, if he did something b'mezid, now we've got a real problem. B'mezid, Then you have to worry about also the question of Knas. And if he himself was the one who did it, then Lo Yochal Olamit, the guy who did it, will never be able to eat it. Because we give a Knas to someone not to enjoy the fruits of what he did, even if he could have done it after Shabbos, by 10 minutes after Shabbos, he'll never enjoy it. But that's only if he did it b'mezid. I don't hold that we're going to make a knas, even if he did it b'shogeg. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, Omer, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says, look, you have it right partially, at least the part about we never allow to be nene from an avera, and therefore would be also for anybody on the day that I agree. But I disagree about your saying that b'shogeg it would be mutter for anyone to eat after Shabbat b'chtei she'aser, because the guy who did it, even though he only did it for shogeg, has a knas never to be nene, because we're considered shogeg to amazing. So that's the first thing I disagree with you about. And therefore I say, b'shogeg, yes, it can be motzei Shabbat, but only for other people, not for the guy who did it. So la'achirin, v'lo lo. If it was done by mazid, then we've got yet another issue. And that asers it for everyone, because the Torah compared it to kodeshi. And Kodesh is Asr B'Anah for all. And therefore, Lo Yochal Olamit, it can never, ever be eaten by anybody. Lo Lo, V'lo La'Acherim. So therefore, if we have a Mishnah that says it can be eaten only tonight, at least that's Rav's understanding, that the implication of the Mishnah that compares it to Yom Kippur means it can be eaten, but only after the day, just like Yom Kippur, it may be Kosher Shechita, but it can be only eaten after the day. That works out, aliba de Rav Yehuda, if it was done b'shogeg. Okay? But, says the Gemara, why read it that way? Why can't it be going b'mezid? If it was going b'mezid, then it would work out fine according to Rabbi Meir, because according to Rabbi Meir, it's also usher today if it was done b'mezid. No, 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 says the Gemara. It can't be Rabbi Meir. Because lo sakadaik, Tanya dumya de Yom Kippurim, by Yom Kippur, the comparison in the Mishnah that forced Rav to say, the Mishnah implies that today you can't eat it, is because it's similar to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you can't eat it because it's Yom Kippur. It doesn't matter whether the Shechita is done b'shogeg or b'mezid. Therefore, the Mishnah is clearly saying, lo shna b'shogeg v'lo shna b'mezid lo achil. Therefore, when it comes to the Shabbat, it must also mean afachanami lo shna b'shogeg v'lo shna b'mezid lo achil. There's only, however, one man the Omer who says that, and that's Rabbi Yehuda. Although, of course, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler also says that you can't eat it today, lo shna b'shogeg v'lo shna b'mezid. Later on, we'll ask why can't it be Rabbi Yochanan Sandler? But it certainly can't be Rabbi Meir who says you can eat it today. That's ridiculous. But how could it be Rabbi Yehuda who says that b'shogeg gets usher today and mutter tonight? The Mishnah says af al pishim itchayev benafsho katani, which means that he did it b'mezid. No, no, af al pishim itchayev benafsho doesn't mean he did it b'mezid. It means it's an avera that is very chamur, something that would be mechayev benafsho if you did it b'mezid. So hakikomer. Even though we're dealing with a very chomer iser, that if he had done it b'mezid, he would be mitchayev b'nafshohu. But since the case is that he didn't do it b'mezid, he did it b'shogeg, shchitato k'shera, and anybody could eat it tonight. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda was saying. But couldn't it be? I mean, yes, we've got three cases, three mandiyamrim. You've process of elimination. We've gotten rid of Rabbi Meir. But that still leaves us both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, because Rabbi Yochanan Sandler also says, and Nukmek Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, who agrees that lo shna b'shogeg, lo shna b'mezid, you cannot eat it today. Ah, but there's another question, isn't there? Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says that after Shabbat, only other people who didn't do it can eat it. Rabbi Yehuda says after Shabbat, at least b'shogeg, anybody can eat it. Now, he is, therefore, distinguishes Rabbi Yochanan Sandler k'mafik b'motzei Shabbat between him and others. And he says, only other people can eat it. L'acherim v'lo lo. Tana Didan just says the word Shchito Kshera Ketani. Loshna lo veloshna lacherim. Doesn't matter to whom. This Shchitas Kosher can be eaten. There's only one man, the Amar, who says that today it cannot be eaten, but tonight it can be eaten by all. And who is that? Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of Shogeg. So the process of elimination means there's only one option. Our mission's got to be going on the Rabbi Yehuda. That was the brilliant insight of the Talmidim, the Beit HaMidrash, who said, look, if Rav's got a problem, and the problem is innate to the act of Shechita, it's got to be because there is an Isser that's associated with Shechting on Shabbat that remains Osir for the day. Okay, who could that be? After going through all of this logic in their minds, they said, there's only one possibility. Rav must be saying that Ali ben Rabbi Yehuda, because he was Madaik in the Mishnah, that it's similar to Yom Kippur, and that left him no option but to say that it was also B'Yume, Ali ben Rabbi Yehuda. Now, once happened that a Tana walked into the Beit HaMidrash, where Rav was, and he said over a bright in front of Rav, which Tanoim would often do to check out the Nuschaot of their Braitot, Tani Tana came to Rav, if you cooked on Shabbat and you did it b'shogeg, then you can eat it, but you can't if you did it b'mezid. And for some reason, Rav shut him up. Now, why in the world would Rav shut him up? I mean, all he did was repeated the bright that we just had, and he said the sheet of Rabbi Meir. So, my time of Ashtikle, why did Rav shut him up? Is because, well, we just saw Rav said our mission is going to lead Rabbi Yehuda, and in walks someone who has the chutzpah to say a halacha like Rabbi Meir. I mean, that's why you shut someone up? Just because you personally hold a Rabbi Yehuda, anybody holds a Rabbi Meir is to be shut up? I mean, that's impossible. It's absurd. Mashtikle. Not to mention the fact that, by the way, Rav personally did not hold a Rabbi Yehuda. The Od Misavalak Rabbi Yehuda, the Omer of Chana Bar Ami, actually, came Mori Lo Rav the Talmud and Mori Lek Rabbi Meir. When Rav personally gave a psak as to whether you're allowed to be Nehneh from something that was done b'shoging on Shabbos, he told his Talmudim it's perfectly okay because he held of the Shita Rabbi Meir. But when he said it over in public, what the halacha would be, he didn't want to be so mako, because there were a lot of Amei Ha'aretz present, and you know how it goes, you can always conveniently make a mistake b'shogeg. So Chidorish Papirka, he darshan like Rabbi Yehuda, and he said, well, even if you made a mistake on Shabbos, you wouldn't be able to be nene from the cholent on Shabbos. And so there he was Dorish Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Amei Ha'aretz. So, doesn't make sense. I mean, obviously, if he holds like Rabbi Meir, he's not going to shut someone up who holds like Rabbi Meir. V'chitemen, maybe you'll say, ah, but the Tana made the mistake of saying it in the Beit HaMidrash, and the Amei Ha'aretz would hear it. That's why I had to shut him up. So v'chitemen, Tana b'pirkei Tana kamei. I mean, otakuli amla Tana tzaite. Who's listening to the Tana? Remember, the way that they taught was that the one who was giving the lecture, Rav, he would speak low, just say over the Iker thing into the ears of the speaker. The speaker was called the Amora, which means literally speaker. And he was skilled at projecting his voice and supplying the explanations. Nobody's paying attention to what's going on at the shtender where Rav is. They're listening to a Tana who's whispering over Halacha in Rav's ears. L'amora tzaiti. Anyway, they're paying attention only to the Amora. No, the case is not quite the way you said it. What the Tana said to Rav was not Tamabashel b'Shabbat, which was the brighter that we just had. The Tana said Hashulchet b'Shabbat, and he said like Rabbi Meir. He said Hashulchet b'Shabbat b'Shogeg Yochal b'Mezid Lo Yochal. To which Rav said, now hold on a minute. What do you think? That's what Rabbi Meir holds? My daitach to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was only matir at kan lo kasher Rabbi Meir to this point. What was Rabbi Meir matir? A mavasha. But that's because there's no problem of mukta, you see. A mavasha is royal akus. You'd be able to eat it raw. And if you eat it raw before you were mavashalit, now that you're mavashalit, it's still food as it was before, and there's no muktzah problem. But shochet, where the animal before you couldn't bite into and take a piece of it while it's living, and now only the shochet turns it into food, and it's ein roi lakus, you never had a right to say that Rabbi Meir would have been matir a shochet b'Shabbos, not because of the Shabbos issue, but because of the muktzah issue. What? How can you say that? We just went through 2 days of agony to prove that there was a Dafka Rabbi Yehuda and not a Rabbi Meir who would have held that a shochet b'Shabbos. That was the case in the Mishnah, not Mavasha. A shochet b'Shabbos. So the Masnisa was the shochet. And we've gone through agony, which Ravuna Darash Chia Barav Mishpe Darav Asur B'Chilin Yuma. And we said that only worked out Alibi Rabbi Yehuda. Nazbe Chabra'el Abayim Rabbi Yehuda but Alibi Rabbi Meir would be mutter. And now you're telling me that Alibi Rabbi Meir it would be Asur. You're driving me absolutely up the wall. No, wait a minute here. We're talking about the Mishnah. The Mishnah was coming to address the actuality of the issue of Shechita. Obviously, we need to strip from that any additional considerations such as Muktzah. When I tell you that Rabbi Meir would have been Matir, I mean Matir Shechita qua Shechita. You want to strip away the issue of Muktzah? Let's say that the guy had a deathly ill person in his home, and therefore there's no problem with Muktzah, because it was Oymeh to be Shechted. So Rabbi Meir, Kishore, Rabbi Meir, Gilon Shayalo Chole Mi Vod Yom. I don't get it. If somebody was sick, so then why would Rabbi Yehuda possibly have said that there's an Isser? He didn't do any Aver, he did a mitzvah Shechted for someone who's sick. So Yochi, my time to Rabbi Yehuda Asa. Ah, well, he had someone who was sick at the time that it was Shabbos, and therefore it wasn't Muktzah, and then the guy got better. And then he went out and checked it anyway. So he was over the Yisra on Shabbos. So Hayalo Cholevi Hivri, V'chiyodam Rabbacha Baradam Rav. Look, don't think that I'm reading into Rav's concern. I'm reading this issue. I want you to know, Rav is very concerned for this problem. Because it happens to be that Rav actually addresses this issue on numerous occasions, and that was the Omar Rav Akbar Adam Rav, or some say it was Rav Yitzchak Bar Adam Rav, that Ashochet L'Choleh B'Shabbat, somebody who went ahead and checked it for a person who was ill, became ill on Shabbat, it's never going to be mutter for someone who's well to eat, because it was Muktzah, it's also Labori. Whereas if he cooks for someone who came sick on Shabbat, it would be mutter to the bori. Why? Because it's not muktzah. My time, a high royal lakus. The case of the cooking, it was edible raw, and he could have made beef tatar out of it. And high, it's a royal lakus. So you see that Rav was concerned for this. Therefore, it makes perfectly good sense to say that Rav would have shut someone up who didn't take into consideration something of great importance. Omer of Papa, look, it's not written in stone. Pa'amim, I mean, it could be conceivably the exact opposite. There might be times where the shochet is mutter. Let's say that the chola was miba'od yom. So then there was no problem of muktzah. Whereas the mavasha would be osir, such as a case where you made pumpkin soup and cut the pumpkin on Shabbat. Shekit tzeitzlo dalat. Omer of Dimi Minarda, everybody here is very smart discussing the problems, whether it's Mukta, Maisa Shabbos, but you're all forgetting that there's an additional question, which the halacha takes into consideration. And the Hilchata is actually the opposite, that Hashochet L'Chole B'Shabbat, if somebody was ill before Shabbat, and you do a Shechita, then indeed it's true that someone who is well is allowed to eat it. However, he's only allowed to eat it raw. My taima, because there's no chashash. He's allowed to eat it because you're going to have to do the shechita for this animal anyway. And once you do the shechita of an animal, you're going to have 50 pounds of meat to eat. So kevin diyevshel kezayit basar below shechita, if you do the shechita, you're 100% going to be doing that shechita for the guy who's sick. So ki kashachet adayta dechola kashachet. But if you're mevashel b'shabbat, then we've got a problem. Because over there, even though you'd say, yeah, but you got less of a problem. There's less of a problem with muktzah. That may very well be true. But if you're mevashel chola b'Shabbat, we cannot allow the bori to eat because of a gzeira. In fact, if you're going to be cooking, and let's say the whole family's here in the hospital room visiting the chole, then someone who's cooking for the chole is going to say, well, maybe the chole is going to want a lot of meat, hoping, of course, he'll have the meat left over to feed the family. So over there, gzeira shema yarbe bishvilo, we're concerned he's going to put more meat into the pot, and therefore be more machal al Shabbos for the sake of the person who is well. And therefore, we have to make a gzeira to aser it. Hashochet b'magal yad b'tzur uvekaneh shchitato kshira. Hakol shochatin, lo'olam shochatin, ubako shochatin, chutz v'magal katzir v'amagira v'ashinayim v'tzipur v'deshim chotki. So, somebody goes out and he shechted using a sickle, but this was a hand sickle. A hand sickle has one part which is smooth, and there's one edge which is sharp for slashing, and another edge for ripping. And that obviously would have ripped the throat also. The other part may be like a scimitar. It's perfectly good for cutting a neck. The only problem is that we're a little bit worried you might use the other side. So we don't want you to do this lechatchila, and therefore it's hashochet. But it also says bitzur ubikaneh, to use a rock or to use the edge of a reed is kosher, but only kosher. And we're going to ask later on, what do you mean, only kosher? Why? What's wrong with it? Now the Mishnah says something very strange, which is really very opaque, that the Gemara is going to say, obviously, each of these words has to be adding something we didn't know before. Hakol shochatim, which sounds like the exact words of the opening Mishnah of the Gemara, of the Besechta. Lo'olam shochatim, sounds like Bei Yom Bei Malayim, it's got to be adding something. We'll see what it's adding. Ubako shochatim, once again, I mean, what is that adding? Chutz mimagal katsir. Now, magal katsir is also a sickle, but it's a sickle that's used for harvest, and it has the side of it that have very sharp notches that are in one, all turned in one direction, so that they'll rip in one direction. And we'll get to talk about what the implications of that are. But in any event, it doesn't have the smooth edge. And you catch somebody who shechted with a migera, a saw, or teeth embedded in a jaw, or a fingernail. Those things would not be kosher even b'diavad. Why? Now, the problem with the fingernail is not, as we're going to see, that it's chonek, because it could be made perfectly smooth, and you go back and forth with your fingernail, is just as good as a knife. The problem will turn out to be a pasuk that tells us that connected things are not kosher. And that, of course, is going to figure strongly in the Gemara discussing a rock or a reed. As to the Gemara, you said the word hashochet, that means only if you did it, diabat, in. But lechatchila, you can't do it. So I understand the magal yad, bishom magal yad, obviously we don't want you to use one side if you may accidentally turn it and use the other side. Demati lemevad bi'idach gisa, Rashi points out, this means that if you've got a notch in a knife, you can't rely on using the other part of the knife, the 5 inches without the notch, because over here, even of the other side is a problem. So we're certainly going to be gozer not to use the knife with the notch if it's on the same side. What could possibly be wrong with using a rock or a side of reed, the chatchila lo, if it says beferish in the bright, what I'm meaning? Bakol shochatin, bein batzur, bein beskuchit, bein bekrumit shokane, you can use anything whatsoever and makes no difference if it's a rock or if it's a piece of reed or a broken beer bottle, it's all fine. Says the Gemara, it's not a problem. Lo kasha. Because these things you might hold in your hand, or they might be attached to the ground. So kan betalush, kan bemechubar. So where we say that you are only able to use b'diavad, a stone or a reed, that's talking about where they're attached to the ground. Where it says there's no problem, you can use it like a chatchila, that's where you're holding them in your hand, like any other utensil. How do we know that? Rebbe says it's even possibly avad. And we're going to see that there's a basis in the pasuk for this from Avram Avinu Vayikacha Machelet. Rebbe Chiya is makshir. So even Rebbe Chiya is makshir. The word makshir is only b'di'avad. So atka loka makshir Rebbe Chiya l'b'di'avad. Avalachatchilalo. And since it's the Mishnah says it's only kosher b'di'avad, it's going perfectly well alib Rebbe Chiya. What? Rebbe Chiya is only, you're saying b'mayo kimta, Rebbe Chiya, and it's dafka b'di'avad, and not b'chatchila? How do you explain then the following bright Lord Tanya? Bako shokati, bein b'talush, bein b'mechubar. You can be shokhet, this is l'chatchila, right? Go right ahead and shokhet, whether it's talush or whether it's mechubar. It doesn't matter if it's connected. It doesn't matter, ben shah sakin lamala, whether the knife is above, poised above the neck, which is the norm, or the neck is above the knife, ben shah sakin lamata b'tzavar b'im lamala, and you might think, well, wow, I mean, that's a heavy neck. What if accidentally it actually places weight down on the knife, and that's a drisa? We're not worried about that. Now, this, it turns out, doesn't fit any shita. Money, lo Rebbe, v'lo Rebbe Chiya, because according to Rebbe Chiya, it's only kosher b'di'avad. Here it says, go right ahead. L'chatchila lo. E Rebbe, Rebbe said, even b'di'avad, it's not kosher. Well, you know what? Actually, I was wrong. Really, Rebbe Chiya holds even l'chatchila. It's good. So it's going alib Rebbe Chiya, and when it says, b'kosher chatim, that's Rebbe Chiya. Rebbe Chiya is even l'chatchila. I was wrong in thinking that because it says Rebbe Chiya makshir, that it was only makshir b'di'avad. The reason that we use the word makshir, halachic mitzvah b'di'avad, is because it's such a big chiddush to hear that Rebbe is pasels afilu b'di'avad. And, I mean, we certainly don't need to tell us kach that teir Rebbe Chiya, because the brayta says b'feirush b'kol shochatin. We'd like to let you hear the big chiddush that Rebbe holds, even b'di'avad it's pasul. So we said, but Rebbe Chiya says it's okay. But the truth is Rebbe Chiya says it's okay even l'chatchila. Now, wait a minute. But the Mishnah now doesn't go according to anybody. So then the Mishnah that says ha-shochet, which is only b'di'avad in l'chatchila, who's that going according to? Neither Rebbe nor Rebbe Chiya? Because if it's Rebbe Chiya, I thought you said Rebbe Chiya says even l'chatchila, the Mishnah is only b'di'avad. If it's Rebbe, even b'di'avad you can't. I mean, there's no way you're going to be able to get three shitot out of two people, my friend. Says the Gemara, no, it's not a problem. Liolam, I'm sticking to my guns. Rebbe Chiya holds even l'chatchila. The Mishnah is no problem. The Mishnah that says b'di'avad is going according to Rebbe. What? According to Rebbe? I thought Rebbe posels. It says Rebbe posel afilu b'di'avad. If you're telling me the Mishnah is going like Rebbe, then we have a contradiction of Rebbe. Kasha to Rebbe, ad Rebbe. Ah. You, my dear friend, are ignorant of the fact that there are two different types of mechubar. The Rebbe and the Rebbe Lokasha kan be mechubar meikaro. If something is naturally attached, then even b'di'avad it's possible. That we learn from the pasuk. Kan betalush ulebesof chibro. But the case where Rebbe says you can't do it, but if you do it's kosher, is where you had a rock, and now you attach the rock to the ground. Now it becomes possible, but there it's not possible b'di'avad. And don't think I'm making this up by pulling it out of a hat. I'm going to show you there's a braita that openly proclaims this distinction. Look at this braita, Titania. Hashochet b'muchani. If somebody uses a machine to shecht, so he's got now a buzzsaw. And this buzzsaw, of course it's smooth and it's a kosher shechita, right? Brings the animal's head to the buzzsaw, the shechita is kosher. But, and look at this, because we're going to call mechub l'karka also kosher. He uses mechub l'karka, you're expecting a big butt, right? But there isn't a butt, shechita tok shira. And, not only that, if he takes a knife, sticks it into a wall, attaches it to the wall, and uses that knife standing still, moving the animal's head over the knife, shagaba, it's also kosher. So far it appears that there's no problem of mechubal karka. Oopsie daisy, look at the next case. if there's a rock sticking out of a wall, or there's a reed that's growing in the ground, or and you use it to shecht with, the shechita is pasul. Now hold on a minute. Isn't this a contradiction in the very same braita? The Reisha says, it doesn't matter if it's bechubur. I mean, don't do it like chatchila, but if you do it, shechita to ksheira. And then you say, if there was a rock sticking out of a wall, now, then you tell me that it's possible even b'di'avad. There's only one explanation. Elav shmamina, shiny b'mechubur mi'ikaro, l'talosh l'besof libro. Clearly, there's a difference between something that starts this way, that's a tsur that's sticking out of a wall. Now, this may be a natural wall that we're going to see tomorrow. A tsur, maybe it's the wall of a cave, you know. Or maybe even if you build a wall, that's the equivalent of mechubur, we'll see. But if it's sticking out of the wall, meaning in its natural state, then indeed, it would be pasula fil b'di'avad shmami. Now that we were correct in making this distinction, so now we have two shitot, but three cases. So that altogether we have Rebbe Chiyo, who holds, there's no problem, it's always kosher. We're not going to be machalik between lechatchila b'di'avad. Once we say that between mechubur mi'ikaron, mechubur, and tolosh b'sof chibro, because once you're telling us it's not a problem, why would we make a problem if it was mechubur mi'ikaron? That makes no sense. But Rebbe holds there is a problem, and it's based on the pasuk. Okay, there we make a difference between the two cases. So there's two possible cases in Rebbe, one which is only b'di'avad, and one which is pasul afil b'di'avad, and one din alei b'Rebbe Chiya, consistently, it would be mutar afilu l'chatchila. Hashochet b'magal yad, b'tzur uv'kaneh, shechitato k'shira, hako shochatin, l'olam shochatin, u'bako shochatin, chutz v'magal katzir, v'amagira, v'ashinayim, v'tzipur, v'bdei sheim chotki. So, somebody goes at it, he shechted using a sickle, but this was a hand sickle. A hand sickle has one part which is smooth, and there's one edge which is sharp for slashing, and another edge for ripping. And that obviously would have ripped the throat also. The other part may be like a scimitar. It's perfectly good for cutting a neck. The only problem is that we're a little bit worried you might use the other side. So we don't want you to do this lechatchila, and therefore it's hashochet. But it also says bitzur ubikaneh, to use a rock or to use the edge of a reed is kosher, but only kosher. And we're going to ask later on, what do you mean only kosher? Why? What's wrong with it? Now the Mishnah says something very strange, which is really very opaque, that the Gemara is going to say, obviously each of these words has to be adding something we didn't know before. Hakol shochatim, which sounds like the exact words of the opening Mishnah of the Gemara, of the Masechta. Lo'olam shochatim, sounds like Bei Yom Bei Malayim, it's got to be adding something. We'll see what it's adding. Ubako shochatim, once again, I mean, what is that adding? Chutz mi'magal katsir. Now, magal katsir is also a sickle, but it's a sickle that's used for harvest, and it has the side of it that have very sharp notches that are in one, all turned in one direction, so that they'll rip in one direction. And we'll get to talk about what the implications of that are. But in any event, it doesn't have the smooth edge. And you can't, somebody who shechted with a migera, a saw, or teeth embedded in a jaw, or a fingernail, those things would not be kosher even b'di'avad. Why? Mipnei shem chonkin. Now, the problem with the fingernail is not, as we're going to see, that it's chonake, because it could be made perfectly smooth. And you go back and forth with the fingernail, is just as good as a knife. The problem will turn out to be a pasuk that tells us that connected things are not kosher. And that, of course, is going to figure strongly in the Gemara discussing a rock or a reed. As to the Gemara, you said the word hashochet, that means only if you did it, diabat, in. But lechatchila, you can't do it. So I understand the magal yad, bishlam magal yad, obviously we don't want you to use one side if you may accidentally turn it and use the other side. Demati lemeva bi'idach yisra, Rashi points out, this means that if you've got a notch in a knife, you can't rely on using the other part of the knife, the 5 inches without the notch, because over here, even of the other side is a problem. So we're certainly going to be gozer not to use the knife with the notch if it's on the same side. What could possibly be wrong with using a rock or a side of reed, the chatchila lo, if it says beferish in a bride, what I'm meaning? Bakol shochatin, bein batzur, bein beskuchit, bein bekrumit shokane, you can use anything whatsoever and makes no difference if it's a rock or if it's a piece of reed or a broken beer bottle. It's all fine. Says the Gemara, it's not a problem. Lo kasha. Because these things you might hold in your hand, or they might be attached to the ground. So kan betalush, kan bebechubar. So where we say that you are only able to use bidiavad, a stone or a reed, that's talking about where they're attached to the ground. Where it says there's no problem, you use it chatchila, that's where you're holding them in your hand, like any other utensil. How do we know that? Rebbe says it's even possible. And we're going to see that there's a basis in the pasuk for this from Avram Avinu Vayikacha Machelet. Rebbe Chia is Machshir. So even Rebbe Chia is Machshir. The word Machshir is only B'diavad. So Atka Loka Machshir Rebbe Chia Lo B'diavad. And since it's the Mishnah, it says it's only kosher b'diavad, it's going perfectly well, Ali b'Rebbe Chia. What? Rebbe Chia is only, you're saying b'mayo kimta, Rebbe Chia, and it's dafka b'diavad, and not b'chatchila? How do you explain then the following bright? Elo d'tanya, bako shochatin, bein b'talush, bein b'mechubar, you can be shochet, this is l'chatchila, right? Go right ahead and shochet, whether it's talush or whether it's mechubar, it doesn't matter if it's connected. It doesn't matter ben shah sakin lamala, whether the knife is above, poised above the neck, which is the norm, or the neck is above the knife, ben shah sakin lamata v'tzavar ben lamala, and you might think, well, wow, I mean, that's a heavy neck. What if accidentally it actually places weight down on the knife and that's a drisa? We're not worried about that. Now, this, it turns out, doesn't fit any shita. Money. Lo Rebbe, v'lo Rebbe Chia. Because according to Rebbe Chia, it's only kosher b'diavad. Here it says, go right ahead. L'chatchila lo. Rebbe said, even b'diavad, it's not kosher. Well, you know what? Actually, I was wrong. Really, Rebbe Chia holds even l'chatchila. It's good. So it's going a little Rebbe Chia. And when it says, bakol shachatim, that's Rebbe Chia. Rebbe Chia is even l'chatchila. I was wrong in thinking that because it says Rebbe Chia makshir, that it was only makshir b'diavad. The reason that we use the word makshir, hotek amithik b'diavad, is because it's such a big chiddush to hear that Rebbe is pasels afilu b'diavad. And, I mean, we certainly don't need to tell us koach that ter Rebbe Chia, because the brayta says beferish bakol shochatin. We'd like to let you hear the big chiddush that Rebbe holds, even b'diavad it's possible. So we said, but Rebbe Chia says it's okay. But the truth is Rebbe Chia says it's okay even l'chatchila. Now, wait a minute. But the Mishnah now doesn't go according to anybody. So then the Mishnah that says ha-shochet, which is only b'diavad in l'chatchila, who's that going according to? Neither Rebbe nor Rebbe Chia? Because if it's Rebbe Chia, I thought you said Rebbe Chia says even l'chatchila, the Mishnah is only b'diavad. If it's Rebbe, even b'diavad you can't. I mean, there's no way you're going to be able to get three shitot out of two people, my friend. Says the Gemara, no, it's not a problem. Liolam, I'm sticking to my guns. Rebbe Chia holds even l'chatchila. The Mishnah is no problem. The Mishnah that says b'diavad is going according to Rebbe. What? According to Rebbe? I thought Rebbe Pasels. It says Rebbe Pasel afilu b'diavad. If you're telling me the Mishnah is going like Rebbe, then we have a contradiction of Rebbe. Kasha the Rebbe, other Rebbe. Ah. You, my dear friend, are ignorant of the fact that there are two different types of mechubar. The Rebbe and the Rebbe lo kasha kan be mechubar meikaro. If something is naturally attached, then even b'diavad it's possible. That we learn from the pasuk. Kan betalush ulo besof chibron. But the case where Rebbe says you can't do it, but if you do it's kosher, is where you had a rock, and now you attach the rock to the ground. Now it becomes possible, but there it's not possible. And don't think I'm making this up by pulling it out of a hat. I'm going to show you there's a braita that openly proclaims this distinction. Look at this braita, the Tanya. Hashochet b'muchani. If somebody uses a machine to shecht, so he's got now a buzzsaw. And this buzzsaw, of course it's smooth and it's a kosher shechita knife, brings the animal's head to the buzzsaw, the shechita is kosher. But, and look at this, because we're going to call mechub l'karka also kosher. He uses mechub l'karka, you're expecting a big butt, right? But there isn't a butt, shechita tok shira. And, not only that, if he takes a knife, sticks it into a wall, attaches it to the wall, and uses that knife standing still, moving the animal's head over the knife, shagaba, it's also kosher. So far it appears that there's no problem of mechuba l'karka. Oopsie daisy, look at the next case. If there's a rock sticking out of a wall, or there's a reed that's growing in the ground, okonon olame alav, and you use it to shecht with, the shechita is parcel. Now hold on a minute. Isn't this a contradiction in the very same braita? The Reisha says, it doesn't matter if it's Bechubar. I mean, don't do a lachatchila, but if you do it, shechita tok shira. And then you say, if there was a rock sticking out of a wall, now, then you tell me that it's possible even b'diavad. There's only one explanation. Elav shmamina, shiny be Bechubar mikaro, litalosh elabesof libro. Clearly, there's a difference between something that starts this way, a tsur that's sticking out of a wall. Now, this may be a natural wall that we're going to see tomorrow. A tsur, maybe it's the wall of a cave, you know. Or maybe even if you build a wall, that's the equivalent of mechubar, we'll see. But if it's sticking out of the wall, meaning in its natural state, then indeed, it would be pasula fiddle bidi avad shmami. Now that we were correct in making this distinction, so now we have two shitot, but three cases. So that altogether we have Rebbe Chiyo who holds there's no problem, it's always kosher. We're not going to be mechalik between lechatchila bidi avad. Once we say that between mechubar mikaron and mechubar and Tolish Basov Chibro, because once you're telling me it's not a problem, why would we make a problem if it was a Mechubar Mikaro? That makes no sense. But Rebbe holds there is a problem, and it's based on the Pasuk. Okay, there we make a difference between the two cases. So there's two possible cases in Rebbe, one which is only B'diavad, and one which is Pasuk Afil B'diavad, and one then only B'Rebbe Chia, consistently, it would be Mutar Afilu Lechatchila. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
Shavua Tov, we are holding on Daf Tet Vav, the second Chumi. And let me just bring you up to date, because you forgot the exciting cliffhanger in which we are. Somehow, I'm getting biting nails instead of
Good.
Go ahead, tell us more.
But we're struggling.
You should have stopped when you were ahead. You started off very well. Okay, so the Mishnah again says that you can eat a shechita that was done on Shabbos, even though you're in Mitzrayim and Asher, or on Yom Kippur, And Rav said that that's not true about the day of Shabbos. You have to wait until the night time.
Not Rav, but the day of Yom Kippur, I assume.
Well, that's basically the marker for it. We know in Yom Kippur certainly wasn't referring to the day. So similarly, on Shabbos is not referring to the day. The Talmidim decided that we must be Rabbi Yehuda. We went through a number of different possibilities about which Rabbi Yehuda it might be. Ended up being basically Doche, all of the possibilities of Rabbi Yehuda. We want to say it was different than the case of Rabbi Yehuda by Hachana. We want to say it's different by the case of, in the case of Rabbi Yehuda by Mukta. Different than the case of Rabbi Yehuda with the Gzeira of Mashkin from Peret Kedushah or the Ifrat, so on and so forth. And today we have a new suggestion by Rav Ashi on line 3, the last two words. Hello, Amar Rav Ashi. Rabbi Yehuda de Mevasha. Actually, this is a completely different Rabbi Yehuda. And here we're referring to Rabbi Yehuda in the Machlokas of Mevasha. Now, before we get to it, let's just discuss for a minute outside what the dinim would be about cooking on Shabbos. So somebody cooked on Shabbos. What are the implications for the issues of the things that were cooked? Now, there is a general gezeirah of not being nehne from Issa. So we have the idea that if somebody, if something was prepared on Shabbat, you have to wait after Shabbat as long as it would take to cook that food on Shabbat, and then you're not being nehne. Well, you can't cook it on Shabbat, so that plus would say Shabbat. As long as it would take to cook, when you're allowed to cook, that way you're, if you have to wait that long, you're not being nehne from the Issa. But there's also another question, because if you were nene from Isser, would imply somebody did an Isser. How about if it's Beshogi? Is being nene from an Avera the same thing as being nene from Isser? Beshogi is an Avera. So there's a possibility even Beshogi would be Isser. Then we have another problem. Another question is there perhaps a Knas involved? That if someone was over the Isser, besides the idea of not being nene from Isser, since he did the Isser, we give him a knas, he's never allowed to be nene from the Isser that he did. Because one might say he did this Isser. And then there's a further issue, which doesn't really come up in our Gemara, but there's a further issue about Kansinan Shogeg Atu Mezid, that even a Shogeg would get a knas since a major gets a knas. And there's yet a fifth issue, which does come up in our Sugya obliquely, which is that there is a shita that holds that when it says ki kodesh hu by Shabbos, mekalaleh mot yumat, that it's coming to tell me that anything that was done in a way that mekalaleh mot yumat has been of kodesh. And just like kodesh is asur b'hana'a, so too is ma'aseh Shabbos asur, and that's just a given, that nothing to do with the knas, it would actually be an issur d'oraisa, and there it would be where it's not be amazing. So it would be asur to everyone. Okay? Those are the issues we have to take into consideration. Now, it turns out that here in our sugya we have a three-way machlokas about the application of these things. So I'm a Vashel b'Shabbos, it says here in the Braisa. Should not say that it's none, because it's actually a Braisa. I'm a Vashel b'Shabbos, someone who cooks b'Shabbos. So Rabbi Meir Shita is, b'Shogeg Yochav. If it was done b'Shogeg, then there's no nene from Yisr. There's only an Avera. Rabbi Meir doesn't hold that there's any Knas or any Isser involved in being nene from an Isser that was done. So therefore, even on the same day, you're allowed to go eat it, and there's no need to wait until Bechteshia says on the night. But the Mezid, however, where there was an Isser, Lo Yochal, he cannot eat it for that matter, nobody else can eat it either, until Bechteshia says, so that there was no Hana'ah from Yes, so this is not a knot for Epikones, the others. It's a din that when something is done, but Yisr, the Rabbanan asked that food to be eaten during the day until you're not being nene. And how much time is not being nene? As long as it would take you to get it done. It's a Shabbos. So if it takes an hour to cook, an hour after Shabbos, everybody's allowed to eat this, the guy himself, the other guy, anybody else. At that point, they're not being nene from the Yisr that was done. But they could have had it. Now, not Shabbos Yisr. Okay, so Rabbi Meir now is very makel. In other words, he doesn't hold of the Shogeg Atu Mezid, he doesn't hold of Avera being the only Isser. Rabbi Yehuda, I am at. Rabbi Yehuda says, oh no, it's not, it's worse than that. Even b'Shogeg, you can eat it, but only the Mitzvah Shabbos as long as it would take b'Chvei Shiyaseh. So Rabbi Yehuda holds Bishogeg, what Rabbi Meir holds the Mezid. But basically, no one is allowed to be Nena from Israel, even though it's only done as an Avera, Bishogeg. The Mezid, Loyo Karolamit, but when it comes to doing something the Mezid, that's a Knatz, a new Knatz. Rabbi Meir didn't hold up the Chalal, that the person who does the Avera, this is not other people, the person who does the Avera, is never allowed to be Nene from the results of the Avera that he did. It was done the Mezid. So that's Isser. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda is now as Machmer, one step up on Rabbi Meir. He tines that there is also an Isser to be Nene from Avera, not only an Isser to be Nene from Isser. Therefore, Bishogeg, it's also going to be Isser. Plus, he adds this new halacha that someone who does something the Mezid is niknas not ever to be nene from it. So there's 2 points that he adds to the Meir sheet.
This is a review that you do, and not
our review.
Not one of the ones you were looking for earlier.
Yes, it is. This is our review, the one we're looking for. This is the one that we're trying to establish. Rabbi Yochanan Hassan Vlar Omer, Bishogeg. Rabbi Yochanan Hassan takes Rabbi Yehuda's Mezid and turns it into a shogeg, just like Rabbi Yehuda took Rabbi Meir's Mezid and turned it into a shogeg. In other words, where Rabbi Meir held the Mezid became what Rabbi Yehuda held the shogeg. Right? And Rabbi Meir held the Mezid, that first of all, everybody's the same. There's no difference between the guy who did it and everybody else. And that the Mezid, it was usher ba'ana'ah during the day. Rabbi Yehuda said, that's true of a shogeg. Of a shogeg, there's no difference between the guy himself and the other guy. Right? And it's usher during the day. That's a very easy way to remember, just as it points out. The Mezid of Rabbi Meir is the shogeg of Rabbi Yehuda. The shogeg of Rabbi Yehuda is, the Mezid of Rabbi Yehuda is the shogeg of Rabbi Yochanan HaSanda. So Rabbi Yochanan HaSanda says, wait a minute. The din that the guy himself is never allowed to eat it is true even if it's b'shogeg. So that's because even b'shogeg got the Mezid, we make a Knas. So therefore, Bishogeg Yochal B'motzei Shabbat, that only other people, Vacherim, V'lo, which is exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said about a Mezid. Whereas B'mezid, now here, Rabbi Yochanan HaSanda has access now to the new issue, the fifth issue. He takes Rabbi Yehuda, expands Rabbi Yehuda to Aser, Shogeg, Atu Mezid, and even the guy that Bishogeg gets the same Knas, never to be able to be Nene. And he adds also a new issue, which is, as I mentioned to you earlier, that Ma'aseh Shabbat Dan, the Isser, Mezid, B'chalolei Amot Yumat, it says there, Ki Kodeshu. Kodesh is Asur Ba'ana'ah, so to a Ma'aseh Shabbat Asur Ba'ana'ah, and therefore was done the Mezid, it's also for everybody, forever. So there it's Lo 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 Lachim, Lo Yachel Olamit, it's also ever to be eaten. Okay, so let's once again review these shitas. According to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Meir, the only problem is you cannot be nene from Isser, meaning where something was done, the major, the person who did it, or another person, makes no difference. You can't be nene from that Isser. Therefore, you have to wait, b'chdeshi asa. But from Avera, you can. Rabbi Yehuda adds, no, even from Avera you can. Therefore, nobody's allowed to be nene until Matzah Shabbos, even b'shogeg. And that's the one difference. The second difference of Rabbi Yehuda is that he says the guy himself who does it, but may get the knas that he's personally never allowed to be nene from. Rabbi Yochanan HaSanda says that's the givens. That's what we start with as Rabbi Yehuda. However, I add upon Rabbi Yehuda two issues. Number one, even a guy who does it b'shogeg, I've seen a shogeg got to mezid. And therefore, he is never allowed to be nene from it. Furthermore, if it's done by Mezid, there's an issue of the Raita, which is Meisr Shabbos, or Kodesh. Okay? So each Shita adds two new points to the Shita before it, and expands. And it turns out the Shogeg, the Mezid of one, is the Shogeg of the next. Okay, so now, what we're saying is that the case in the Mishnah, if the Talmidim were timing, that the Shofet B'Shabbos is usher during that day, then who is it going like? They're saying like Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, well, if it's done B'Shogeg, then you have to wait until Mitzvah Shabbos B'Chdei Sheyaseh.
And that's what Rav was saying. He says, you can't eat it today when you did the Shechita. You have to wait till tonight, as long as it would have taken you to do the Shechita. And that's Rabbi Yehuda. So he's going, oh, wait a minute. Rabbi Yehuda's Shogay is Rabbi Meir's Mazid, right? So then, who's to say that the Mishnah was talking about a case with Shogay? Maybe the Mishnah was talking about a case with Mazid, and it's going according to Rabbi Meir. Why did Rav, the Talmidim, say Rabbi Meir? Rav only made his statement, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. That makes perfectly good sense to say the Mishnah is talking about a Mazid. So Nukma ben Mazid, and then it's Rabbi Meir. No. You can't say the Mishnah is limited to Mazid. Because Lo Sakadagos, it's only Jumi Yad Yom HaKippurim. But just like Yom HaKippurim, Lo Shnah B'Shogeg, Lo Shnah B'Mizim. After all, the point that we're making is that we're mentioning Shabbat and Yom Kippur, that they're the same. So I mean, you can't eat it on Yom Kippur, you can't eat it on Shabbat, which means that even B'Shogeg, you can't eat it for Shabbat. But according to Rabbi Meir, there's no issur of being nene from an Aveira that's done B'Shogeg. There's only issur of being nene from an issur that's done B'Mizim. So therefore, and we have no choice but to say that Rav held the mission was going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, not I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. So, Hafokanami, Lo Shnabi Shogeg, Lo Shnabi Bezid, Lo Achim. Yeah, but wait a minute, you can't say the mission is talking about Bishogeg. Meanwhile, this Mukhus of Bishogeg, and then it comes out to be like Rabbi Yehuda. The mission says, Bifirush, Afal Fishim is Chayev Binafsho. Now, how is a guy Chayev Binafsho if he does something Bishogeg? So, on the contrary, the Mishnah is stressing that it was done Bimezid. No, that just means like this. It means that even though this is an Avera that can be Mechayev B'Nafsho, in other words, Alpha God, that had you done it B'Mezid, you would have been Mechayev B'Nafsho. In a case where it was done B'Shogeg, Shechita Tok Sheira, and it's Osir anyway, as Rav is saying, during the day. Yeah, but why can't we say it's going to be Rabbi Yochanan Sandler? Because Rabbi Yochanan Sandler also said B'Shogeg. You can't eat it. And it's better. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says, Lo Shnah B'Shogeg, Lo Shnah B'Mezid, Lo Achim. But bottom line, can you eat it today according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler? No. All that Rav said is you can't eat it today. Now that works out perfectly well according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, even though it was done B'Shogeg. True, but excuse me, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is Kamat L'Gumatzai Shabbos L'Achilim L'Lo. Remember that Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says that he's never allowed to eat it. Because Kanzina Shogeg got the Mazid, even though he only did it for Shogeg. Our mission doesn't make any distinction like that. It says Shchitasek Shera. Shchitasek Shera means Shchitasek Shera, whether for the person who did it or whether for anybody else. How could it be going about Rabbi Yochanan Sandler? Therefore, the Mishnah, until Rav came along, could only have been going according to either Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda. When Rav adds that it's Osir B'Achila B'Yuma, he's being Machman, maybe Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Shogeg.
Is it really so far-fetched to suggest that the Mishnah, Shchitasek Shera,
yes,
is implying that, yes, it's a part of Shchita, but not for him?
Yes, it's far-fetched. Tony Tanaka made the Rav. Now, there was a Tanaka that was saying over this sugi in front of Rav, what he said as a bride said that he had been Makaba was, on the Vashel of the Shabbos, the Shogeg Yochal, the Mazid Lo Yochal. Now, I mean, that sounds pretty good. That's what Rabbi Meir said, right? And Rav shuts him up. So Rav is mashed. But now, my time I'm mashed. Why is Rav shutting him up? And what did he say wrong? He said exactly what we just learned, right? I mean, well, maybe because Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Eli and Mishum feel like Rabbi Yehuda. And the Tana is saying like Rabbi Meir. I've never heard of such a thing. Because you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, so anybody who says like Rabbi Meir gets shut up. I mean, well, that's crazy. So, I mean, Mishum Desfir like Rabbi Yehuda, Mandatanik Rabbi Meir, Mashtik like. I mean, why does he have a right to say over Bryce like Rabbi Meir? Besides which, it happens to be that Lamaisa Rav is not all of Rabbi Yehuda. The old Misavalak Rabbi Yehuda. The Omer of Chanan Barami ki mori lu Rav la Talmidei. The truth is, when Rav would say over privately, with one of his Talmidim, what's the din in the case of Mashal the Shabbos, he said, that looks like Rabbi Meir, you could be Nenny even on Shabbos. Was going to show it. Kidorish, but Pirka, when he said it in public, he was mocking a great Yud since Osir. Because it's Ame Art that will start in Makel, putting the trolling back, you know, who knows. So he was mocking on that. So the Chitim, maybe you'll say, well, maybe that's why he shut him up. Maybe the Tana was there during the Pirka lectures on Shabbos. The Tana was saying, people were going to hear what the Tana was saying, they were going to end up being Makos. But Dr. Mashtiklu,
because you see that he obviously didn't want this to get out. He didn't want things to be quiet, to be known about this. She made me feel so guilty about going wham. No, but Matanav appeared to Tanaka. I mean, maybe you'll say that the Tana was speaking to him in the middle of the lecture. Oh, to Kuli Amla Tana. I'd say, who's paying any attention to the Tana? The people in the lecture are not listening to the Tana, they're listening to the performance. The performance is being done by the Amora that's speaking. So they're not going to hear what he's saying. So the Amora Tzaiti, they're paying attention to the Amora. And why would Rav have shut the Tana up? I'll tell you why, you don't understand the story. You got the information a little bit wrong. The Tana did not say, Hamavashal B'Shabbos. That's the whole point. The Tana said, Hashokhet B'Shabbos. And that was a problem. Because the Tana Shokhet Tana Kameda Rav, Hashokhet B'Shabbos B'Shogeg Yochal, B'Mezid Lo Yochal. So Rav shot at him. So I understand. What, you think Shokhet and Mavashal is the same thing? So you think you're quoting basically Rabbi Meir Shita, and you're just saying Shokhet because it's the same as Mavashal. It's not the same at all. My Daitvek Rabbi Meir. Adkan Lo Kashar Rabbi Meir said that you're allowed to eat what was cooked on Shabbos because he was talking about a case of Mavashal where the meat was already meat before Shabbos, and therefore it wasn't Moksa. But there's Roy Lakus, it's something that can be eaten, even raw. Avo Shokhet. What are you going to say? That Rabbi Meir would be matir. Fine, maybe matir in terms of the dinner shechita, but he's certainly not going to be matir in terms of the dinner mutzah. So shochet, which is ein ro'ui lakus, lo, Rabbi Meir never would have been matir. Oh boy, does this throw a monkey wrench in the whole business then? Because that means that Rav could simply have said that the Mishnah is usher today because it's a shechita for Shabbos and it's usher because of mutzah, even Rabbi Meir. So why then did the Talmud say it's not even a Rabbi Yehuda? You just messed up. We finally figured out which sheet it could be. And now he's like, oh, he tells the story. And the story ruins everything. Well, I'm not sneezing to Shokhetu. I don't get it. Our Mishnah was the case of Shokhet B'Shabbos. Comes along Rav Huna, and he kind of does Shia Barab Mishmeh Rab, that he was quoting his father Rab saying that it's Osir Bakhila, which is fine. The problem is that Nazir Chavraya Lameim and Rabbi Yehuda. Comes along as Talmidim assisted as Rabbi Yehuda. We've been busting our heads for 2 days to figure out which Rabbi Yehuda. And now you're telling me that actually, according to Rabbi Meir, it would have been exactly the same halakha. Because anyway, it would have been Moksa. I mean, a mock according to Rabbi Meir would have been Moksa to eat it. But now you're saying Rav would have all the tzotzah to eat it. Says the Gemara, and you're right. But remember that the Mishnah is not coming in Chulin to discuss whether something is Moksa. The Mishnah is coming to discuss the nature of the Shechita. Therefore, why don't we avoid the Muktzah issue completely? Okay? Let's say, as far as Muktzah is concerned, it's not Muktzah because somebody was very sick. Somebody got sick 5 minutes before Shabbos. They knew that they were going to need extra food from that to give them special food and so on. It wasn't time to shech on Shabbos. Fine, but as Shabbos, before Shabbos, I mean. But as Shabbos comes in, it's not Muktzah because everybody's waiting to eat this meat anyway. So even though it was alive, in that case, it was already Mukhan Lachila, and they had set it aside to eat. So Rabbi Meir, therefore, it would have been Matzah completely for anybody, right? So therefore, Kigon Shayla Kolam Ibaudion. Yeah. So then why would Rabbi Yehuda have answered it? Then it was a mitzvah to shech. I thought the problem with Rabbi Yehuda is that if you did an iser, then even if you did an aver of a shogeg, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you're not allowed to be nana from it on that day. But there's no aver. You're telling me that somebody was sick. He got better. No, because you see the point, we're looking for a laboratory case. We're looking for a case where we can remove the mukta thing, but still have the iser thing. So what would that case be? Okay, the Mishnah is ignoring Muktzah and addressing Shechita. Fine. So let's talk about a case where it's not Muktzah, but there's still an Aveira involved. Somebody thought the guy was still sick and went and shechted for him. It turns out he wasn't sick at that point. He hadn't recovered. So there's no problem of Muktzah. The Mishnah is telling us that even though there was an Isser Shabbos, this was Bishchaya Benavim, obviously in this case we're showing it, right? But nonetheless, it's Mutter, comes along Rav, but make no mistake about it, It's not mutter overall, it's only mutter after Shabbos, because she has it. And therefore, they said it's Rabbi Yehuda, which makes a great deal of sense, because it makes more sense to say that the sugya in the Mishnah was referring to Shechita, and not referring to mutter. So we just create the case in which it's coming to tell me the dinim of Shechita. So Yochim, my time that Rabbi Yehuda da'asar, kagon shayalo choleh v'hibri. So then the point is over here that he got better. Okay? But he had the Amar of Akko Barad Amar Rav, Amar the Amar of Yitzchak Barad Amar Rav, Ashokit with Kole B'Shabbat. Somebody sheds for a Kole on Shabbos. A well person cannot eat from that, even though it was a mitzvah to shed. That's in the body. Amar Vashel a Kole B'Shabbat. Mut in the body. Why? Very simply. My time I wrote Wilokus. The case over where somebody is Mavashel, the meat theoretically could have been eaten beforehand if you're willing to eat raw meat. So, if you come from South Africa, La Marshall, over there they eat raw meat.
Well, they would have to
salt
and
salt it. No.
It takes 4 months to prepare.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Now, this is serious. I brought it up on purpose because it's a big shaila and Ramesh discusses, which is very nogalok Ramesh, as I'll point out in a moment. But Tosus asks the problem. This is where Tosus says, what happens when you miss a day? And Tosus explains that there's no din of needing salting if you're going to eat the meat raw.
Really?
No. And that's why you don't need to salt your meat when you broil it.
Well, that's broiled. I tried, but it came out.
There's no problem. Whatever is left, you cauterize it. It's not going to come out. And you can eat the blood. The blood
is in
the meat is no problem. It's only wants to porridge.
Liver, you don't. Liver, you have to salt. Uh-huh. Liver, you have to salt.
Liver.
And then you broil it.
Liver is a very special halacha. Liver is that we'll get to later on because it's cooling down. The Gemara says later on. We'll talk about it. So, in any event, by the way, you don't really have to.
What, broil or salt?
Salt. Yeah. Not, you're supposed to salt a little at sleep. We'll get into all of that in a moment. But in any event, this leads us to all kinds of problems, because now that we're willing to, it turns out that now we're being dope everything we said before. In actuality, before we were trying to fit in, I'll leave it to review it, then it moves, right? And we said, no, how do you know? Maybe there's a difference between being dope of yadayim, like the case where the guy, had lit the candle, where it's there to move to my position. In a case where something was alive, where it's not moved to my position. Now all of a sudden, oh, the Amon's life definitely moved to my position, and that's no problem. So the whole Gemara, because even, as a matter of fact, it's a total reversal. Because Rebbe Meir argues on Rebbe Yehuda about Muktzim HaMalchus. So before the Gemara said, remember Rebbe Yehuda says you can't use a nair, an old nair, because it's disgusting. Rebbe Meir holds it's good to use an old nair. So then we say, well, maybe the difference between Muktzimach was Mias and Muktzimach was Isser. So no, Rabbi Yehuda is even Muktzimach was Isser. Now we're saying Rabbi Meir is Muktzimach was Isser, but let's go Muktzimach was Mias. So now we're saying it's the other way around. Plus, we're also, now there's two things we've thrown out the window. We took as a given before that Muktzimach was Isser is worse, is better. Now we're saying it's worse than Muktzimach was Mias. And we've also turned upside down our assumption that there's a difference between being doka b'yadayim, like lighting a candle, where over there you definitely do not have any touches on Shabbos, or something else. The male was also the animal's alive, so it's also. Now we're saying, no, of course that's a mukhsma. And the truth is that, indeed, as the Rishonim point out, we've thrown everything else out now, which is pretty amazing. In other words, ultimately, we could have ended up saying now that the Mishnah is going whether I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir or I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Because now there'd be a problem of books if we were willing to say that the Mishnah wasn't talking about only the Yitzhak. Shechita. You see? Okay, there's a lot of discussion. There's a Tosis Tain is over here. They didn't have Yunami. The only reason that we said it now was to explain the Talmidim who said it was Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Meir. What were they thinking? They were saying, which Rabbi Yehuda were they referring to? This is the way they must have learned it, but that doesn't mean that that's the way we have to necessarily say it, halacha. But it's very possible that now that we've arrived at this new understanding, that the Mishnah, it's a much more sophisticated understanding that we have now of the Mishnah we had originally, that the Mishnah is trying to narrow down the halachas in terms of Isser, Shechita, not in terms of Moktzim, and that the Mishnah means to be as broad a discussion as possible, which this would mean that Rav is the doctor talking about a case, in understanding the Mishnah, the Yuda, where we can avoid Moksan. That's the point. Sorry, enough you know? But in terms of the halakha that we learned from here, as Tosis points out earlier, indeed the halakha is that Muktzimachas is more chomer, not less chomer. And even Rabbi Meir is by the Muktzimachas Yitzhar is also, although Muktzimachas Mias may be mutter. This is indeed a reversal. And this is true of the halakha. And the other thing is that if you hold Muktzimachas Yitzhar, you do not need the Chiyah B'Yadayim. Also comes out from this sugya. So we've evolved quite a bit from our opening assumptions. Now, when I said that, this is again, I love the mindset. Indeed, as Avner was just kind enough to point out, for somebody to eat meat raw, you're talking about 4 months of preparation for South Africans to eat meat raw. In other words, it's not something that's just eaten raw and dried, and it's a whole thing.
Cured.
I mean, it's cured. No, not necessarily cured.
What
dried.
Do raw meat.
They do?
Prepared.
It's not prepared.
What?
I don't know what it is.
Not prepared.
Steak tartare.
Steak tartare. It's raw.
You put it in an egg.
Like sushi. It's raw.
Oh, really?
It's raw.
Interesting. Well, I guess Rav Meisha never heard of such a thing as ours. So he paskins that because today nobody would eat raw meat, that it is muktzah. Now, this is a function of the time. There's chuvas in between, you know, earlier chuvas that like Margolis Yam talks about. Maybe this is a reference to like a small bird where you can eat it. Mm-hmm. It's not too tough to eat raw. Okay, but so Ramosha Tanya's book, it's dependent on, you know, the norms. The norm is that people are going to eat, which makes a big difference because according to Ramosha, you try to get something out of your freezer on Shabbos, you can't move the meat. Because raw meat would be in fact muktzah, because even nowadays we don't eat it.
It happens all the time.
And it happens all the time, exactly.
So now
all
right. That it is eaten today.
We don't have raw meat in the freezer.
You don't have raw meat in the freezer?
Frozen.
You don't have
frozen meat. Frozen meat are already salted with meat.
Ready to be eaten.
Would anybody eat it?
Huh?
Would people eat it on Shabbat? And if it's unfrozen, nobody would eat it.
The fact that it's frozen, it doesn't matter.
No one will eat it now.
Nobody eats frozen either, so I mean it's frozen. That's the status.
No, that doesn't matter.
So what does
it? 4 o'clock on Shabbos afternoon.
What does it?
If it's frozen, of Shabbos, it wasn't frozen.
Why is it mukta if it's frozen? If it wasn't frozen, then you would know. If it wasn't frozen, then you'd say it's
freezer frozen hasn't makes no difference.
No.
No. Why would it?
Because if it's frozen, then it's vaday that you can't touch it to do something with it.
No, why? You can unfreeze it. At the Knesset of Shabbos, you could have unfrozen it. By the way, that leads us to another question. Sosis points out over here. We're taking for granted that there's no mukta lefatzi Shabbos here. Because we're saying, as long as the Knesset of Shabbos, the guy was sick, then he became well. It's not mukta, but if he holds yesh mukta lefatzi Shabbos, so they can become mukta in the middle of Shabbos, and now the guy's not sick, so now you can't check the animal. So now it's mukta machmas itzer, it's all shayla. Mm-hmm. So what happened? And indeed, because it says this may be the reason why the Talmidim said it's going to leave the Rebbe Yehuda. Because it wasn't clear what the thing was, the guy who mukta machmas Shabbos. Right? But that leaves open all the question of why we're selecting to discuss the Bidim of Shchita as opposed to the Bidim of Mukta. And again, according to Tosis, that's the way it is. Tosis also suggests that Lamaisa, in a case like this where a guy is sick, you can't say really that it loses, it would be Mukta Bachasa Shabbos. Because the thing that made it Mukta before Shabbos, it's a very interesting story, is the fact that someone was sick. Someone who is sick tends to go up and down until he gets better. So even if he goes up, in such a case, it wouldn't say that Yesh Mukta Lechatzis Shabbos during the time that he's up. During the time that he's up, he's able to go down also. So it's not enough to change the pattern.
So,
I don't know. We'll call Dr. Charles and we'll ask him.
I don't know if I'll be able to answer.
All right. So not off of his head, not off the top of his head, but you know, he'll give it some thought.
Is this normal language to say Ra, Roy, Lakus?
Yes. Lakus is always used. As Tosis points out in Amud Aleph, actually, the kus is always used for unusual akilas.
That are always like basakai or something like that.
Yeah, basakai is right.
That's another way to say it. Yeah. Okay.
Omer of Papa. No, couscous is something else. We're not from your test. Butter couscous is actually different.
Is the couscous in the throat or in the stomach?
No, that's gallon.
No, but what's the couscous?
Lacus is chewing.
Chewing?
Yes, but there's another meaning of lacus, which is to cut. So curiously, butter couscous. Kos, actually, not kus. But kos is cut. It's just that they're Ashkenazi. So therefore, basar couscous would mean meat that people are shouting, kill it fast before it dies, because it's very sick. So it's a chola. Omer papa, v'amim, you know, don't take anything as a given. Because basically, it's all context. I mean, it's possible sha'ashochet mutar. Maybe, I'll give you a case where somebody's being shochet something on Shabbos as mutter, such as in a case where guys are chol amoeba od yom, and then you're allowed to eat it for anybody, because then it's no problem, not that you're going to add, and not that it was mutter. Whereas mavasha would be also in a case where you cut up a pumpkin for him. If you cut up a pumpkin, Rashi holds it, it's talking about cut the pumpkin off of the ground on Shabbos, and then it would be mutter. Tosha says the problem with the pumpkin is because it's too hard to eat, and therefore it was mutter, and would need cooking in order to eat. Rashi doesn't like that. How can a pumpkin be harder to eat than a piece of raw meat? Pumpkins are nice, soft, and attractive. Hard meat. I seem to know about, I guess, steak tartare. Yeah. It's for only for tartars. That's why they call it that. Yeah. You serious about that thing?
Yeah.
I think it's the healthiest thing when you usually put in a raw egg in it, and between the raw egg and the...
That's great. You could die of all types of parasites, bacteria.
Listen, I just...
I had a
shiva call, Inbar's wife's mother, who went into the hospital for a suture and picked up a hospital virus.
Oh, my God. That was the worst.
A virus from the hospital.
Hospitals are dangerous places. People die there.
No, I heard them talking about it. That's what
exactly. Frightening. To go in. I mean, she didn't talk when she went in. She picked up something in the hospital, and Dr. Abramovich was there at the time. He was saying that what happens is the viruses. You use all the antibiotics. And the ones who survive are absolutely immune.
The patient nearly died. My time. So if you cut, now, Alfredo was another not doing like this. I'm going to give you an idol. It says you have to consider, Hilkas Ashokit Lechola B'Shabbos is Mutter Labori, in a case where we didn't have the problem of Mutzah, because he can eat it raw. But because my time, the community, Yetzra Kazayat Basar B'lo Shkitar, you haven't thought about this. It's another problem. Forget about the Yisrael Shkita. Forget about the question of Mutzah. It's another problem. If we're going to allow somebody to eat from something that was done, there isn't much to be done. You have to worry that if somebody's going to do it, look up Shiva. And we saw that Rav was careful that people shouldn't know what the din was about Mevasha B'Shogeh. So if you shaft it for a chole, look, bottom line is, Yev Shal Kizayit Basar B'lo Shkitam. You have to do Shkita of a whole animal just to get one Kizayit. So fine, so let somebody else eat the rest, as long as it's not going to be cooked. But HaMevasher L'Chole B'Shabbat, nobody else can eat it. Because then you might add a little bit of extra meat
for you.
Zotar Heleka Mishnah. I don't know what's going on over here. Both our president and Sambu Josh are missing. Hashochet b'magal yad b'tzur uvkane shuki tatok sheira. So somebody uses a hand size. Now, the thing is here that one side of this instrument is perfectly smooth and sharp, and the other side is serrated. So you use it for different purposes. We use the inside, we use the outside.
It's not the shape that we're worried about.
No, it's the surah of the blade.
And therefore, Shmitato Kshera b'di'avad, because we're worried that you might have, you know, we don't want you to use something if you use the wrong, if we're using the wrong side, we're making an avela. Which Rashi says, by the way, that proves, you know. Well, we'll see later on.
It's got a bit of.
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be straight. And you can use a tsur, but for some reason only b'di'avad, which is strange, because we had, it says the fairish bak whole shelter, and not feel a bit tsur. The Gemara is going to be worried about that. And a kone was also said before is perfectly okay, even a chatchila. Here it says on the shkitat of shira, it means b'di'avad. Hakol shochatin, wow, repetition of our first Mishnah. Ulo olam shochatin, woo, that seems to be a reference to that Bein Bayom and Malayo, that we said that. Ubakol shochatin, which seems to be talking about Sur Bakon again. Chutz mi magal katsir, now here's an interesting thing. A magal katsir, which is the regular harvesting site, has on it pegimot. However, what's interesting is that it doesn't, it's not serrated the way a saw is serrated. It's serrated so that all of the edges face one direction. In other words, if you go in only one direction on this thing, then there won't be a problem, because then you'll simply be going in and out, which is fine. There's nothing's going to catch the skin, right? Because everything's bent in one direction. You don't hit the sharp point, because it's over on one end.
That's more like a circular blade. You
know, no, circular blade, we'll discuss later. No, the problem over here is, look, on a saw is like that, right? No matter which direction you're going to go, you're going to be grabbing the skin of the simoni and sticking it with, yeah, it's going to stick in the hair, right? But if, let's say, if you have a serration that are all of this direction.
Isn't that what a circular and electric saw?
We'll talk about it.
It's going in the opposite direction.
So here, yeah, that's right. There are saws like that. Going the opposite direction is even worse. So going in that direction, it's good. Because you're not, there's nowhere it's going to get caught. Gets to the top, falls over, goes up, falls over, and so on. So over here, the mago cuts here, lechora is okay in one direction, if you wouldn't be going back and forth. The migera, that's definitely a no-no, because that's got the, that's no matter how you do it, you're going to tear. Hashinayim, they grab the saw. Hashinayim, now that doesn't mean using your teeth to chomp down on an animal's neck. What that means is holding a jaw with teeth in it and using it to shech. The problem there is that there's space between the teeth that are going to catch the simoni. Over there, it's not included in the bakol shochatin, because that is essentially clipping together, pulling on, rather than, which is really what chanika is. It's not by that it chokes, it's by the fact that you're what do you call it? Straddling it? That's the word. You want to say, I want to choke you. What's another word for that? No, there's another word.
Strangle,
throttle?
Throttle,
right. So that's essentially what you're doing over here, right? Because you're pulling at it.
What's
a tsipporin? A tsipporin is a different problem. A tsipporin is your finger. Fingernail, and the problem, no, a single fingernail. Yeah, and the problem with your fingernails, we'll see, is completely different than the other issues here. The problem with the fingernails is connected to your body. And as we will see, there's a basis for answering things that are connected to your body. Says the Gemara. Now, you say Hashokhet. Now, Hashokhet, we went through a long, the Hashokhet, especially here in this context, means to be on body. Right, but not lechatchila. I understand the Mago Yad part of it. Certainly that's b'di'avad, okay? Because Dilma Hatzim Lameva B'dafki, so we certainly, I mean, you may pull it back in the other direction and use it the other direction, and then, of course, you got a begun. Now, Rashi brings a riot from here, that if you've got a shofet's knife that has a begima in it, on the edge, all the way in the end, and he's okay, fine, I won't use the end. I'll only use this part, right? That's no good, because that's no different, again, the chathima, that's no different than this case. I mean, it's not worse. I mean, here, it's like you'd have to use the other side. If it goes to the other side, Kolshkate, if it's on the same blade, you don't have a right to use it and say, well, I'll be careful not to use the part that has a pegima. So in other words, you cannot use a knife that has a pegima, even if the pegima is on the other side of the knife. Kolshkate, a knife that has a pegima on the side that you're
cutting with and claim that you're going to be careful. But, okay, so that makes sense. But Gilmati Lamevat Bidakis, I don't want you to do it in the other direction. But it's Sur? Akona? I mean, why would Katriba not? Vramini, I mean, it says Bakol Shofi, Bain Bitsur, Bain Bishulchit, Bain Bikum, Michokona. And Bakol Shofi means even the Katriba. Makashi, Kan Betalush, Kan Nechuba. There's a difference between a Tsur that is attached to the ground or a Tsur that you're holding in your hand. The difference between kone that's in your hand and a kone that's growing out of the ground. The Omer of Kahana, Hashokhet b'mechubar l'karka, if something is still attached to the ground, Rebbe ought to spasso, which would even be abad, it's possible. And Rebbe Chia is makshir, but notice that Akan loka makshir, Rebbe Chia, ela b'di abad, I mean, meaning that he's makshir. Is that okay? If you did it, he says it's kosher, but I'm saying you can go ahead and use it up front. Alone. So therefore, our Mishnah would be going according to Rebbe Chia, not like Rebbe, and it would be saying, L'chatzchila, you can't use it sur in a kohen. Because the Bayer Kibda, how are you making the Mishnah work out now? You're claiming it's going like Rebbe Chia, and it's a reference to Bidi Abad. So then we got a real problem, because there's a brisa that reads, Bako Shochtin, Bein B'Talosh Be'Be Mechubar. Now, Bako Shochtin means, okay, who's that? Nobody knows. Bakol Shochtin Bein B'Talosh Bein B'Mechubar. Rebbe Yalt, if it's Mechubar, you just said it's possibly even B'di Abad. Rebbe Chia, you said it's kosher only B'di Abad. B'Lachatchila now. So then how do you understand the Braisa? Bein Shatzakin L'Mala V'Tzavar Abeim Alamata Bein Shatzakin L'Mata V'Tzavar Abeim Alamala. This is already not discussing the Mechubar, but it's general. So now money. According to the way you just defined the argument, nobody holds at that position, neither Rebbe nor Rebbe Chia. If it's Rebbe Chia, you just claim that Rebbe Chia said only B'di Abad, V'lachatchila not. If it's according to Rebbe, then even B'di Abad Namilo. So we now have a third Shita that nobody ever heard of before, that it's V'lachatchila. Now why are you going to explain this? Okay, I'm sorry. So I made a mistake. Rebbe Chia indeed holds that it's even L'chatchila T'mutter. The only reason it said Rebbe Chia Makshir is because it was talking about trying to show you that according to Rebbe, even B'di Abad it's Pasul. So it said, but according to Rebbe Chia, it's okay. But the truth is it would have been okay even L'chatchila. So V'hodika Mitzvah B'di Abad L'diyaka Koko the Rebbe. So it says it in the same case. You know what? Rebbe would go so far as to say that even you did it, it would be possible. Even though normally we say, God, their Torah is adif, and we'd rather show the shita of the person who goes all the way and says something is mutter. Tosis points out that in this case we don't care about that because we have a bright that says it's mutter. Right? Bakol Shokhtin, you know, even maybe Mechover, even though it's Mechover, so it says that. So if we're adding something, the only thing that we're adding over here is the Chiddush, that according to Rebbe, he's so much polarized opposite here of the Rebbe Chia, that he would only admit the Abad it's possible. Okay, but now you really messed yourself up. Because now there's no Tana for the Mishnah. You forgot what you were trying to prove. The Mishnah says that it's kosher b'di Abad. Okay? If it's Bechover. That's how you answer. You say, here it's Bechover, and therefore it's kosher b'di Abad. Who's that? Nobody else it's kosher b'di Abad. According to Rebbe, it's possible b'di Abad. According to Rebbe, it's kosher l'chatchila. So now you answer one problem, you create another problem. So what are you going to do in the Mishnah? All about Tzizi Diktani, Ashokhet Yavarein, l'chatchila lo money. So now who's the Mishnah going according to? Lo Rebbe, v'lo Rebbe Chia. Because according to Rebbe Chia, now you're saying Rebbe Chia also feel l'chatchila. It's going according to Rebbe, you said Rebbe Yalti even B'di Abad. Well, I stick with what I said. Le'olam Rebbe Chia is l'chatchila. But the Mishnah that says Hashokhet B'di Abad is Rebbe. What? I thought you said Rebbe said it's possible. You're driving me crazy. So now it's Kasha to Rebbe out of Rebbe. Now Rebbe's contradicting himself. Before he says B'di Abad is possible. And now you're saying the Mishnah is Rebbe, you said B'di Abad is Kasha. Explain yourself, please. No kasha. Ha! Making a mistake. Kan b'mechubar mi'ikaro, kan b'talush u'lebesof chibro. Now, until now, we thought that the issue over here was that if something is mechubar, the only way you're going to be able to shech with it
is by moving the neck of the animal over the mechubar thing. And that type of thing inevitably will cause a grisa. Now the Gemara is having karasa. No, that's not the problem. We have no problem, even if it's mechubar, Rebbe agrees that's not a problem. It may be a problem with Castillo. He doesn't want you to do it that way. And Rebbe Chiya says, I don't care. That's not a problem. And that's the case in which, if it was originally Tolish, and then I'm a Chaber.
You stick it in the ground?
Yeah. I could take a knife, I could put it into a wall, mm-hmm. with its plate sticking out, and then I have a convenient thing, and I slide the neck of the animal over the knife. I don't have to worry about my knife. So there is where Rebbe says, okay, B'diavad, that's kosher. I don't like you to do that, but B'diavad, it's kosher. Now, that means that obviously it's not a mechanical problem. He says it's possible. There's some other problem. In the end, we're not going to get there today, but in the end, the Gemara learns this out of a pasuk from Avraham Avinu. It's a vayikach from Arachelos. He takes about Arachelos along. In other words,
it's something you can take.
Okay. So that's a different problem. And there's a difference between Tolosh of the Sof Chibro and Mechubavak Beikara, which is a tremendous finish. How do you know that there's a difference? So now it turns out that the Mishnah that says B'diavad is talking dafka about a case where it wasn't a tzur and a kana that are growing naturally, but it was something that you put into place, and there indeed it's kosher, but only B'diavad, according to Rabbi, and according to Rabbi Shia, it would have been kosher for substitute. Then Bryce that says Bako Shoftin. That's Rebbe Chiya. Same with Mukhova Lakarka. The bride said it says according to Rebbe it's possible. It's talking about a different case where the Surah had never been detached and was still in the edge of a cave and using it.
Oh, or in the case when it's
when you told me, I was just sticking out of a wall that you built and now you put it into the wall.
What if this rock had not been, I mean, it's already Mukhova and I sharpened it?
And that's what we're talking about.
No, I'm saying it wasn't sharpened beforehand.
Well, sharpened is not the issue. How do we know there's a difference? The Tanya. Hashokik b'muchani, shvitas of shiris. You have an electric saw, let's say, right? And you smooth down the edge of the saw. And then you just bring the animal's head up to the... They have a machine that basically does the shvita. So that's kosher. That's fine. The shvita, however, the b'chuba l'karka, is also shvitas of shiris. Again, B'diavad here. So that's the case that we're talking about here. Not sakin b'koto. You put a knife into the wall. V'shachata, shvitas l'kshera. Hayatsur yotzei min hakoto. But if you've got now a rock that's sticking out of the edge of a wall, so now there's a problem. We have a kana. It's growing actually. A problem. Shvitas l'kshera. Now come on. Now you have a contradiction. Before you said, not Zakin Bakoto, it's not before birth of the Koto, it's kosher. And then you say, but if it's growing from the ground, it's not kosher. Now explain that. Kashin Adadi. Ela Lab Shmami. Now there's no choice but to say that you see clearly from this bright, shiny vein of Kumil of Nikara, the Talmud of the South Hebrew Shmami. And there you go. Okay? Right. So tomorrow we're going to discuss, Lamaisa, what type of saw, whether an electric saw would be kosher, or dafka, does it have to be something you're running with your feet, or, you know, like the old-fashioned sewing machines.
Oh,
you know, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Exciting, huh? Mm-hmm. It's hot stuff. Yeah, it's smart. Yeah. So much fun.